Seems like today we should make special mention of the liturgical color. It has been a while since it was green. Green is a pointed reminder that Christmas is over already. Green is the ordinary color of nature, of course not at this time of year, although we do have the evergreen trees. A few years ago at the church near our football stadium, St. Pius X, where we were, Mass took place as people were walking right by there to go to the football stadium to watch the Calgary Stampeders play the Saskatchewan Roughriders. Calgary in red, Saskatchewan in green. People from Saskatchewan have green blood, I think, for their football team. Everywhere it's green there are all times of the year. Well, the pastor concluded Mass with this comment. He said, "People wonder if God and his church have a preference for which team wins. Well, on this day, the church chooses," and he looked down at his vestments. I remember an expression, yeah, he was a big football fan. I remember an expression from my childhood, God's green earth, everything on God's green earth. Green vestments is a symbol of the manner in which the mystery and the glory of God are made known, made visible, revealed in the ordinary days of our lives. And Mark is the perfect gospel to lead us into ordinary time, I think. Well, they're all great, but Mark has a particular way of leading us into ordinary time because he wastes no time establishing the identity of Jesus. You know that in the ancient world, kings were anointed for their role. And Jesus was baptized by John, a kind of anointing with water. And immediately the Holy Spirit anointed Jesus. And the Father speaks, "You are my beloved Son." So the fullness of the Holy Trinity is present from the first moment of Jesus' ministry. Water and Spirit come together, the physical and the spiritual, earth and heaven. Jesus goes into the wilderness then to commune with the fullness of God, but he also encounters the devil. And what we will see once again as we journey towards Lent is that Jesus always knows the difference between the voice of God and the voices of the world, which are frequently influenced by demons. We, on the other hand, I'm sorry to say, are frequently fooled, not we specifically us, but in the world. Only in communion with our Lord can we access his wisdom to distinguish good from evil, darkness from light. That's our challenge as we walk through ordinary time. In this first teaching moment in Mark, the people can tell there is something powerfully unique in the way he speaks, the way he teaches. They don't quite know what it is, but they recognize it as truly authoritative in a way that they haven't heard before. We know that this is because it is the authority of the one who created everything and has absolute dominion and authority. It comes even through his words, which they would have heard physically, and we read. We have those words, and we are called to hear them this way. The problem with the teaching of the scribes is possibly, that they tend to speak with the authority that they get from their position in society. And even though they talk of divine things, they are speaking from a human place. Then we see that Jesus backs up his teaching authority by his power over a demon. So what should we notice here? Well, I suggest that we see clearly that the demon knows of Jesus' authority. It has no doubts. It screams, "You are the Holy One of God." So why does the demon know who Jesus is? But we live in a world where the culture increasingly rejects this truth, this reality. Even worse, some who know he is authoritative and from God will not submit. I think you know that that's Satan's line, "I will not serve." In a world that is opposed to the authority of God, we see the demon. And Mark is making that clear. Now we look at the letter to the Hebrews for a deeper dive into the relationship between who Jesus is and who we are. Jesus, the Son of God, but he takes on a human body and he suffers and he dies. He is for a while, as it says, a little lower than the angels. At the crucifixion, the disciples are shocked that the Messiah died. But the bigger shock is that God died. The one who takes on human flesh, which we just finished celebrating, also takes on the worst that human flesh can experience. Now, if this is so, how can he also be God? Well, He does it so that he can fully identify with our human experience, most especially our sinfulness. And he overcomes that death through the resurrection as a pointed reminder, as a manifestation, a realization that only God can heal us. Only God can cast out your demons and mine. He has that authority, but he does it in the most human way by stooping down to where we are in our brokenness. Hebrews quotes Psalm 8, that beautiful psalm which we also have today. I love how it's put in Hebrews. Someone has said somewhere. That's so Catholic, isn't it? We know our scriptures better than we think, but that's often how we sound. You know, Jesus healed that paralyzed guy. I think it's somewhere in the Gospel of James or Peter. Of course, there are no Gospels of James or Peter. But we do better than that. But sometimes we don't have those things memorized. But Hebrews cites the psalm where God is all glory and honor. Yet this glory and honor has somehow been given to men and women, making them only a little less than God. And that's our identity in God. We've been given God's own glory and honor. Remember that at creation we were made in his image and likeness. So the very serious problem comes in the fact that we can lose this status by our own negligence. This we see everywhere, do we not? Let me give an example that I think is quite relevant today. We hear about the need to save our planet from damage. I hear about this all the time when I go into the schools. The children are fully imbued with this, and we hear about it all the times. We recognize that somehow that our actions and perhaps our attitudes are a problem in terms of the health of the planet. So we recognize the problem. However, without the wisdom of God, our solutions are misguided and even evil. Without God, the world thinks that children are the problem. Too many of them. Prevent children. Kill the children before they are born. That's the demon. This is what happens when human wisdom says, let's save our planet. But we are not the Savior. Jesus is. There is a God, and we are not him. We need to respect our planet, not to save ourselves, but because God gave it to us to care for. This is the way one Catholic teacher put it. We don't live in the world God made. We live in the world that we have made of the world God made. I love that. God gave us a dignity before which we can only express our amazement, but also our deep gratitude and love for the one who gives his glory, his own glory, to you and I. So today, we might ask for the grace to recognize the glory of God, to recognize that this glory abounds on and resides in Jesus, to recognize that a measure of this glory has been given to us, and to recognize and be astounded by the authority of Jesus. What an inheritance. What a grace. What glory.